Desmond Bishop joins us on Sports Byline USA. 5 seasons in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers. And, of course, he picked up a Super Bowl championship ring when they won Super Bowl number 45. And Desmond, when I look at your career, it's a very interesting one. You went to San Francisco City College. Then you went to Cal, got drafted in the 6th round by the Green Bay Packers. What amazes you the most about your football career?
I would probably have to say that I don't get as much respect for my skills as I should, if that makes sense.
What was the reason that you ended up at San Francisco City College instead of going right into a 4-year school?
I just didn't get recruited. I didn't have no offers. I had one offer to the University of Nevada, Reno, and at the last minute, they pulled it back, and I didn't have nowhere else to go but to junior college.
You certainly did play for a great coach there in George Rush, more than 35 years as the coach at City College, a number of national championships. Can you talk a little bit about him? Because he really does connect with the athletes that he gets there at the school.
Oh, yeah. It's a culture there. You know, and my dad, I think dating back since, you know, my dad been there, just the culture of good football is just so rich that, and started by Coach Rush, and it's just been years and years and years of just this mentality when you get there, and it's still there, and, you know, winning championships and, you know, winning the junior college division, and, you know, everything was kind of set up there, you know, for the players who go there, and you just jump right into this culture, and it kind of becomes second nature, just, you know, playing hard and winning for Coach Rush.
I know that Pete Carroll wanted George Rush to be an assistant coach for him, and the quote that I have here from the story, a former player said, "Coach, don't do it. Guys like me need you." What was he talking about?
You know, I think when you first said that, what came to my mind was just the discipline that Coach Rush instilled in you. Like, he really demands you to be perfect. Almost, you know, he kind of reminds you of, like, what you hear about how Vince Lombardi was. It's just, like, chasing perfection. And you know, nobody's perfect, and he still get on your case if you're not perfect, when in fact he knows if there's no such thing as being perfect. But that discipline that it instills in you to always try to be perfect, and then, like, kind of like along the way you become, you know, you develop and becoming a good football player, not just a good football player, but a good person and a good student. So I think that's what he meant.
Well, also the story says the typical City College player is a minority kid from a disadvantaged background, often a victim of neglect by parents in the educational system. Rush and his staff do a lot of turnaround work. Is that a fair thing to say about his program there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I remember just my 2 years of being there. All the bounce back guys we had, and all the, you know, the troubled guys, you know, the guys you knew was troubled, and, you know, from, you know, getting with Rush and, like, that discipline I told you, he instilled in you, no matter who you are, whether you was a star player or, you know, a player that never played, like, he treated everybody the same, and he demanded something from you that I think most of the kids, you know, click with.
A lot of people were surprised when you jumped into the scene. It was the 2010 season, and with the season-ending injury to Nick Barnett, you stepped in, and boy, I'll tell you, over the remaining 12 games, you were just outstanding. What was it that you did that prepared you so well for the ability to step in and be so effective immediately?
I think just practice. I think the way I practiced, and I learned it actually at City College my first year there, because I gray-shirted. And, you know, I treated practices like games to stay fresh and to stay on point. And I just love to play so much that there's no way I could, even at practice, no way I could just go out there and go through the motions, because I'm having so much fun, you know, competing and trying to be better, trying to get better, that it just became second nature when I really got into live action. And, it, you know, it's the same for when I went to the Packers. You know, I was on the scout team, you know, going up against Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, sometimes having to cover, you know, Donald Driver or Greg Jennings, you know, and and I kind of relished those moments. So, you know, when I got into the game and I had to, you know, cover any other receivers, like I already been in practice covering, you know, two of arguably the best receivers in the game. So I was pretty comfortable.
Desmond Bishop is with us on Sports Byline. Five seasons in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers, a Super Bowl championship ring. Have you been able to get your head around this season for the Green Bay Packers and maybe how it ended? What thoughts have you come up with, Desmond?
Man, you know, I really can't. My head's still been spinning on what's going on, you know, what went wrong and, you know, what we need to do for next year to kind of get back to the Super Bowl and get another win. I really, there's no formula really I've come up with. But what I tell myself to help me sleep better at night is that the Giants were just, you know, destined for it. It wasn't nothing, you know, we could do. It wasn't another hour of film we should have watched or another, you know, rep on a bench press or squat we should have did. It was just merely the football gods, you know, really coming in to speak on behalf of the New York Giants. And a couple of plays, you know, throughout their playoff run kind of showed that, you know, in our game, a lot of things, you know, the Hail Mary pass, missed tackle for, you know, that's uncharacteristic missed tackle that went for a touchdown. John Kuhn fumbling, who, like, never fumbles, just, like, ridiculous. Ryan Grant fumbling, who doesn't fumble, just kind of things that don't normally happen just kind of happen. And then the Niners game where, you know, it was a great game, and then the guy returning it fumbled right at the most opportune time for the Giants. And then, you know, Wes Welker, arguably the best receiver in the league, you know, drops a wide open pass to seal the game. You know, so it's like it's nothing nobody can do or say. It's just, you know, it was their time.
Yeah, there are those teams of destiny, and I think the Giants, some people feel, were that way. You know, there's two schools of thought when it comes to having a bye. You can either get yourself rested and healed up a little bit. The other school of thought is it kind of breaks, and you wonder whether there's going to be some rustiness, breaks the continuity of a team. Did that factor in any way, not to use it as an excuse, but you guys were rolling along so well. I had never seen you come out somewhat flat like I saw in that game against the Giants.
I think it does. I think it does a little bit. But if you ask any team if they want the option to have a bye, you know, I think 99% of them would just say yeah, because, you know, the season is long, and if you can get an opportunity to rest and, you know, kind of get that injury or whatever individual players have that can, you know, with an extra week to heal up, you know, it's fine. But I don't know. Because, you know, we still practice like we play. We just, you know, we just miss Sunday. You know, we just miss a game. So, I don't know. I guess it kind of worked both ways.
Did the fact that you had your assistant coach lose his son, and obviously a tragedy within a family, and that's what the football family is, a close-knit group, did that factor into any degree? Did it kind of throw everybody off emotionally?
I'm not sure, really. You know, it was definitely like a saddened time. And it possibly could have threw us off emotionally a little bit. But, you know, I think myself, and I could speak for a lot of the players, that it kind of just, you know, just gave us a lesson, really, and just kind of motivated us that, you know, that any one day could be our last. So, you know, let's go out there and, like, have fun and like, enjoy this time because, you know, it could be all over so quick and so sudden. So, in a way, it kind of helped motivate us.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this something, the way the season ended with disappointment, is this something that's going to be a benefit this coming season, that it'll keep everybody's perspective in check and therefore that they have to finish the job? Is that going to be a motivational force for the Green Bay Packers this year, you think, Desmond?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think so. I think so, absolutely, because it did kind of get a sense that, you know, we can just kind of show up and win, you know, was just like, oh, if you look at him, we got this player, oh, we going to win. But, you know, it doesn't always happen like that. The best team with the best players don't always win. So I think that lesson is going to really help us out this coming up season. And, you know, and just know that, you know, we have to go out there and earn it every play, every game.
Desmond, I want to thank you very much. What a great season you've had, and a good career, too, in the National Football League, one that's only going to get better. And you're welcome back here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Desmond Bishop, again, 5 seasons in the NFL, all with the Green Bay Packers. And, boy, I'll tell you, this kid could play linebacker. When he got the opportunity in 2010, he took advantage of it. Super Bowl champion in Super Bowl 45 in 2010. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.